You're listening to the Dharma and Greg Initiative. Let's give it a few seconds because it felt like it started playing around 6 or 7 seconds last time. All right. Hello.
Hey, how you doing, honey?
Welcome back.
Thanks for listening.
Oh, I meant welcome back to you. Welcome back to my home. Oh. But also welcome back to the listeners.
Yes.
Our castaways.
Hey, castaways.
Welcome back to the Dharma and Greg Initiative. I'm Nathan.
And I'm Greg.
And today, we will be covering 3 more episodes. We've got episodes, 11, 12, and 13.
11, 12, and 13.
We'll get to the titles when we start talking about them. But first, what's up, bitch?
Hi.
What's going on?
I watched The White Lotus.
And?
Well, all I can say is the rimming scene was just as iconic as you think.
Thank you.
Maybe Grandpa Was a Power Bottom is something I need hand-stitched in embroidery.
Okay.
And I absolutely love how at the beginning of the show, Armando says that you want to just sort of blend in, not be any particular kind of strong personality, just be a helpful presence. And then he proceeds to do the exact opposite yes. the entire show.
He is the Tasmanian devil.
He is just like fucking up everyone's little thing because he just fucking hates. He's just done.
You know what you know what that is? It's RuPaul's Interceptor.
Oh, God.
She coined the phrase. That's what it is, the whole show's about. Your inner saboteur.
Your inner saboteur.
But also white privilege.
It is definitely about white privilege.
But
it's incredible.
It's not so condescending or up its own ass that it's like hard to watch or cringy.
Sure.
I think it's perfectly written. Everyone, the cast is flawless. Jennifer Coolidge is...
That was the performance
amazing.
Of her career.
I think so.
Yeah.
I know everyone's going to remember her for kooky other stuff she did before this,
sure.
but like, I will now think of Jennifer Coolidge. Legally Blonde Jennifer Coolidge, in my mind, is now replaced with White Lotus Jennifer Coolidge.
Absolutely.
Or that 13-second video where it's just her saying, hi. That's it.
I love that video.
One
I'm
word.
Glad you brought it up.
It's iconic, and it's on my list of moments of culture.
It is.
It is.
Yes.
It is. You haven't seen it yet. So you have been watching. You finished White Lotus.
I did.
I'm glad. I'm happy. Thank
God.
You for listening. It's a quick one. It's not like Lost
it
where we have
quick,
to document
yeah,
it.
Yeah, no. It was a quick watch. It was hilarious.
Also set in Hawaii.
Yes.
Well, not set, but filmed in Hawaii.
Oh, boy.
The music.
I couldn't believe those
flawless.
People were real. Oh, let's talk about the music, actually.
Please.
Anyone who is familiar with the show will know that it has the anxiety-ridden soundtrack.
Yes.
And also featured is a lot of choral music. Choral music in Hawaiian.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't strike you as traditionally like Pacific Islander, right?
No.
So the deal with that is I found out most of the recordings came from an album that is... a recording of Hawaiian choral music, and a large percentage of the songs are composed by the last queen of Hawaii.
Oh.
She composed them when she was under house arrest after her government was overthrown. And for a few generations, the Hawaiian royal family had been Christian, and they were originally Anglicans, part of the Church of England. And the last queen, she liked to attend Presbyterian churches and stuff growing up, but she ended up converting to Anglicanism herself. And so that's why the choral music has a very, like, why does this sound like it's coming from the English countryside?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because
it's
that's
beautiful.
How she wrote it. Yeah. It's a blending of two cultures.
Well, the composer, Cristobal Fantapir, Cristobal.
Sure.
Something. I've listened to other works of his from another show he did called Utopia, which is a Channel 4 UK show.
Okay, yeah.
And it's the same kind of concept. The music is, it's like, I hate this cliche, but it's like another character. But it is. like the music obviously cues the things, but it's like, it's a huge part of the show because it uses dialogue and diegetic noises from the show to right. make the next song in the next episode. So then it's all callback to the, like that girl scream, this guy's grunt. And you're like, oh God, it's uncomfortable the whole time. Because the whole show is about conspiracy theories and being on the run. So it's
it
amps it up.
That's like a reverse overture.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Okay.
I did musical theater
sometimes
once.
Sometimes the dead look in your eyes.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. I am in the midst. I have one episode left of Squid Game. That is the hot thing this week. It is worth it. It is worth the watch. If you are in the mood to read a show, because I do not suggest the dubbed version, it literally cuts the dialogue in half and all the nuance has been wringed out of it like a sponge. So I watched the subtitles. It is so fucking good. It's the Hunger Games. That premise of like playing games to survive. But these people have a choice. They like chose to do it.
Yeah.
Because they're all like, they want that money. They need money. It's all for a fuck ton of money. So you kind of like start falling in love. I mean, it's just a good show. There's a reason it's number one in like 90 countries right now.
Oh, shit. Okay.
There's a reason for that.
Which country does it originate from?
It is a Korean show.
Oh, okay.
I'm assuming so. Yeah. I'm going to go ahead and assume it's
that the deer leader doesn't make any appearances.
No. And no, yeah, that's true. There's one of the characters, like, she's trying to get the money to get her family out of North Korea.
Sure. That tracks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is very, very good. It's not scary. People keep asking me if it's scary. It's not. It's just, like, it's heartbreaking and it's a little gory because it's death.
Right.
A lot of death. But mixed with childhood games like Red Light, Green Light, and Tug of War and shit like that.
But
death, like you will die if you lose. Very good.
Very good.
Very, very good.
Speaking of scary, watched anything scary recently? It is October now.
Well, 9 Perfect Strangers had some horror elements to it. And both of those were Nicole Kidman's accent and Nicole Kidman's wig.
Ooh.
But the rest of it I liked.
Cute.
As far as like actually scary movies or content, Michael and I started Midnight Mass the other night.
I watched the first episode.
I fell asleep after the second, and then he finished it and told me what happened.
Okay.
So I was like, "All right, I'll get there eventually." I really like that Mike Flanagan guy who made this and Bly Manor and Hill House.
Yeah, he's really talented. I watched the first episode, thought it was slow. Clearly, I have to give it another chance because this is the second ringing endorsement I've heard about it in like a week.
Yeah, Michael watched it all at once because he was like, I had to know what was going on. And it, from what I know, it's really cool and right up my alley. So I'm excited to get there, but I'm in the middle of a bunch of other things right now.
I get it. I've been watching horror movies since September, but I haven't watched a single thing that's been scary yet.
What did you think of New Nightmare? Isn't that wild?
It was a wild movie.
It's Scream before Scream. It's so meta.
Oh my god. They leaned into it. They knew what they were doing, and they embraced it.
It was a beautiful send off for, like, Wes, Heather Langenkamp, and Robert Englund.
Yep.
And they should have just stopped after that.
I agree.
I don't think they needed to reboot it. And I think I hear there are maybe more in the works, but I don't trust any of that.
Freddy
Krueger is very special to me.
Aw.
Very special. I love him.
When a franchise gets too big for me, I'm just like, there's no way for me to, I don't want to watch all those movies. Like all the Friday the 13th.
I don't like watching them at once. I can't marathon those.
Yeah.
I can marathon Scream. There's 4.
And they're amazing.
And they're great. I cannot do 13 plus.
Good God.
Slasher flicks. Or, you know, no one should ever try and watch all of the Halloween movies. They're just not that great.
No. So many of them are unwatchable.
Yeah. Remember Paul Rudd?
I love Paul Rudd.
Not in that movie. That came out the same year as Clueless, but I wonder which one he filmed first.
Oh, God.
Because those were both, like, would have been his one. Whichever one came out first would have been his first role.
Sure. Ugh. Oh.
Except maybe that's not true. I never looked into that. I just remember the fact that they're from the same year and which one was first. I don't know.
Who remembers? Who remembers?
The internet. I would have figured that out. I wouldn't have to talk about these shows, but I wanted to bring up the Brooklyn Nine-Nine finale happened while I was writing the notes for these episodes.
Okay.
And I love that show. It's very special. It's very good.
It's a good show.
I was very sad that it ended, and I'm happy that it's over now. You know what I mean?
How many seasons did it get?
I think eight or nine.
That's a good solid.
I'm not sure. Eight or nine.
Yeah. 8 or 9 good seasons is a good, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think anyone wants to watch Cops right now.
No. No.
Stop trying to make them lovable.
What are some current events? As of recording this a few hours ago, the Biden administration finally put their money where their mouth was on reproductive justice and undid the Trump Title X bans for clinics who do abortions getting federal money. So Planned Parenthood can begin receiving federal money again. Yay!
That's amazing!
What about fun pop culture stuff? What is happening recently?
Oh, I've got all that.
I can tell you depressing.
Oh, no. Oh,
Facebook was down most of today, if you use Facebook like that.
Yeah, Facebook, Instagram, and WhatsApp were all down until about a couple hours ago. Yeah. And honestly, I loved it. It was nice.
Didn't care about it.
In my current events list, I have Elvira came out.
She did.
A 19-year-long relationship with a gorgeous woman. And she's got a new Netflix show coming out this week? Next week?
Yeah, and then that's it. No more Elvira. She's hanging out the wig.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't hear that.
Yeah.
Well, good for her.
Yeah, no, she's been doing it a while.
She doesn't owe us shit.
She's in her 70s.
She doesn't owe us shit.
Somebody asked her, well, who do you think could play you in a movie about your life? And she said, probably Dolly Parton.
Mm-hmm. And I'd love to see that.
I would love to see that.
Give me that.
I actually watched her movie last night, Elvira, Mistress of the Dark. Had never seen the actual movie. Seen some episodes, you know, from her show. Yeah, it was great. It was a lot of fun.
I don't think I've ever seen the full thing in order. In order. At least the full thing in order. Like, yeah. I've seen bits and pieces of it throughout my life, and I think I've seen it all, but not in order.
But not in order.
But I don't think it really matters.
No, it doesn't.
It's fine. Yeah. It's good. It's kind of like a clip show. And then the last thing that I had on current events was Britney finally freed from her dad. She's still under a conservatorship, in a way. At least her dad's not there, and that's great news.
Yeah.
Great news. Britney 2024. I'll vote for her.
We're going to move on to Amanda Bynes next.
We owe her an apology. We owe Megan Fox an apology. Yep. Lindsay Lohan is not welcome in this country. You stay out of here. Just kidding. I would like if she got her shit together, too.
I would love if she got her shit together.
I miss her.
She keeps trying to.
But every time she tries, she picks up a new accent, and that is weird. Ugh. Problematic, even.
Yeah.
She's a sponge person.
I can see that.
She's a sponge person.
She needs a lot of therapy, probably.
She's not going to get that owning nightclubs in the Mykonos. There's no time.
I mean, hey, you do you. Like,
I know. Who am I to judge? I don't own anything. You're right.
Yeah.
I'm not Lindsay Lohan. That's all I've been watching lately. I've been watching the other two.
I mean, I'm on a rewatch of The X-Files. I think I've mentioned that before.
I think you always are. It's like 30 Rock. You're never done watching it. You get to the end and you restart it like a week later because you just want it.
I actually have it this time with 30 Rock.
You didn't?
Yeah. Yeah, I was like, okay, I'm going to take a break.
I got to the end on accident because I wasn't paying attention. And then I went back 2 seasons and was like, nah, I missed something.
I had to reference Leap Day William the other day to somebody and they were like, what?
I'm so sorry that happened to you. I bet that was
worst moment of
culture. Uncomfortable, I'm sure.
It was terrible.
Uncultured swines. So, I think that wraps up introductions. You want to do a quick little 15 about this one episode?
Let's talk about this.
Let's talk about this. We are here for Lost.
I'm already lost.
Me too. Find me, Greg. So, we are starting with season 1, episode 11. All the best cowboys have daddy issues. Now, when I was reading just the titles of the episodes, I assumed this was a Sawyer episode because that sounds Sawyer title episode, right?
It does.
But it's not. It's a Jack. Another Jack one. We still haven't gotten a fucking Hurley episode, but sure. Give me more Jack. Okay. So do you want to do on island and then flashback or flashback? Mixing them, jump around.
Let's do island then flashback.
Island then flashback. Okay. So, last week, last episode, we found out that Ethan is not a part of the
Ethan
flight
is
crash.
Not a person.
He is. I don't think know if that's his real name. Even no one does.
It's probably.
He was not on a plane.
He's a shapeshifter.
He was already there. That's spooky, ooky, and he.
Or is he a ghoul?
A ghoul.
Why not?
Little ghouls. You know, little green guys. Little
what
ghouls.
Are some of your interests? Ghouls.
Ghouls. What? No. I'm not putting that.
Put these away, people.
So, the episode starts with Hurley letting everyone know, at least the people at the caves, that Ethan is an imposter.
Yeah.
So, Jack and Locke bolt and run after them. They find Claire's bag. I hate when people say this in shows, but Locke looks around and says, based on the footprints, looks like there may have been a struggle.
No.
I hate
shit,
that.
Right.
I hate that. Show me the damage on the ground and say they went this way. I would have gotten that. I'm not going to look at a fucked up ground and be like, this is normal.
I also don't need you to be like, oh my God, this person is missing. You know what? I'll bet you, while this person was being kidnapped, they resisted being kidnapped.
Yeah. This is all surprising. A struggle.
A struggle.
I thought that was worth writing down. And I was just like, oh, I fucking hate when people say that. No. So then Locke, Kate, and Boone are going to go look for Claire and Charlie. Shannon is being a bitch. But she has a point. Boone has a point that they're like worthless to everyone else.
Right.
Or they're seen as worthless, and he calls her useless. And I'm not sure he's wrong.
No, I'm not sure he's wrong either. But that's the honest truth we have to say it about her.
That's what we know about her now.
And that's fine. Like,
yeah. She has been useless so far.
Right.
She's just tanning. I don't know how. Bitching. I don't know how much more tan she needs to be.
Ah, I wish she would die already.
Oh my God. I love that that's the only line you can quote from her. But it fucking
stuck.
Captures her essence,
that's,
I think.
That's her.
Totally.
No, she, she shouldn't be such a fucking bitch, but like, I don't want her to die, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like they gave us a scene of her maybe doing something for everyone else on her own. No one told her to do it. She had an idea. She thought it might be useful to everybody, and it is. Or it isn't, but she tried. That's better than her just being like, oh, you asked me to help? No. What's the point? You know what the point is. Like, just get it together.
Just, like, we're all in this together, sweetie.
Yeah. Oh, Shannon. Oh, Shannon.
Is it over?
Is it over? Just kill him already. Jack wants to go looking for Claire as well.
Yeah.
But Locke makes a very good point and says, you're too important to...
to lose.
Either, yeah, get lost... Or get hurt on the way out. Because he's the only doctor. We need a doctor on the island.
Is there a doctor on the island?
We're in luck. There sure is.
Is there a doctor in the theater?
And then I don't... At this point, I forgot the context. But Michael throws a macho man hissy fit. OMG, cry macho is what I wrote.
What? Oh, it was so sad.
What was he throwing a hissy fit about? Vault? Probably.
Probably.
Do you remember?
Michael throws a hissy fit.
He throws a few.
Probably over John Locke again.
Probably.
He does not like that guy.
And then Jack is having a tizzy as well. Hunky Baby Men Island.
They were very, very whiny this episode.
Yeah, I think they're all tired.
The white people just...
It's day 16, so oof. Yeah, they're probably exhausted.
Oof. day 16 days around the same people with no air conditioning.
No real food.
Oh.
No seasoning, at least. I don't know. I'm like, I bet Sun is like living it up because she has her little garden and no one knows about it at this point. And she's just like, I got all these fucking.
I mean, you can get salt. There's a whole ocean right there. That's easy.
Yeah.
Evaporate the water.
Mm-hmm.
Salt.
Oh, okay. So I remember now what's going on plot wise. So they. Jack goes too.
Yeah.
Anyway, he doesn't give a shit. He goes anyway. And then. They find a breadcrumb trail of emo accessories from Charlie. And I love that. And Kate, who is apparently also a tracker now and is a wilderness person, what does she do? What can't she do, Greg? She tracks people. She robs banks. She has fake names. She wears a turtleneck sometimes very well. And she's in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, canonically, in Lost. She is the Wasp, so.
Bam.
Yeah. That's actually new. No one knew that. They split up because Kate suggests there could be a false trail.
Of course.
What do you think about that?
No, she's stupid.
But she was right. Because John Locke and Boone get lost on the fake one.
Oh, no.
They go the bad route, Kate and Jack. They're like wrappings on his finger. Band-aid. Right, they're not like band-aids, but they're like.
No, they're just like just little.
Emo wrapping.
I don't even know.
Hot Topic shit. And.
Jackson shit.
After Jack like eats shit climbing a hill, because he hears a scream, but Kate doesn't. I thought that was interesting. He eats shit going on the hill, and then Ethan is standing there, and Ethan absolutely bodies his ass.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Just beats the shit out of him and says, if you don't stop following me, I'm going to kill one of them.
So this guy's business. Where did he come from?
How is he carrying two, three, technically, people by himself?
Where are they?
How is he? Is he dragging them one by one a little bit at a time, or is he like carrying both of them?
Does he have like a wheelbarrow?
It feels like they've gone a long way.
Yeah, it's a big island.
My God, is he superhuman?
He's not a human.
You don't think? Can't you. Be. He can't be. Jesus. That stresses me out. And then they also, okay, so then they're following. Jack doesn't give a shit that he just got his ass kicked. They're still following because he's not going to lose somebody. He can't lose another person in his life. Can't lose anyone else.
No.
Especially Charlie. They find him straight up just hanging from a tree. That is heartbreaking and also terrifying. That was one of the first, like, oh, God.
Yeah, like, I remember watching that. I was like, oh.
Oh, shit. That was like a main character.
Yeah. Just gone.
We think.
Yeah.
And I honestly thought that the Jack and Kate trying to bring Charlie back to life scene was very powerful. I did tear up, but only at Kate's reaction because she was just like, stop trying. And then she was just losing it. It was very hard to watch.
Oh, my God.
But the music behind that is everything.
It got me. It really did.
It will play at my funeral.
Okay.
I already have it on my computer. It's called The End. Michael Giacchino. It's mine. It's in my will. This is my will. This whole podcast is my will. Justin.
Okay, let me get a pen out.
I know some notaries. I work with a few.
When do you need this played? The opening, the closing.
Just the whole time on loop. Go to YouTube and find 10-hour long Lost soundtrack.
That's going
to
be
the
most popular funeral in town. I'll tell you that right now.
It better be costumed. And I want an open bar. I want an open bar.
Yes, obviously.
I'm going to be buried in the sand like all the other people.
I'm an Episcopalian. I can say open bar and no one will blink.
How dare. Yeah. I was trying to just wrap up the Kate, Charlie, and like one storyline at a time because it's hard to keep track.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the end of that. They find Charlie. They bring him back to the beach. And he's silent, quiet, sad. Neck's all fucked up. And Claire's gone. But he did not find Claire.
Okay.
Jack and Boone are on the false trail. Boone explains the concept of red shirts, which I appreciated. And I knew that you would get.
It was beautiful.
Because that's a Star Trek thing.
Yeah, I love Star Trek.
You are a Star Trek person. I am not. I've never gotten through one. That's not for now. We don't have time to talk about that.
We don't have time to go into the things we disagree on.
Sawyer and Saeed meet up again since he tortured him. And I wrote, they should kiss. There was some tension.
There is some UST. I'll tell you what.
But I thought it was cute that Sawyer was like, kept your signal fire going for you as you walked out. And I was like, you love him.
Oh, look at that.
You should touch his butt or something.
The island's gay.
Yes, it makes people gay. Mm-hmm. And that's not the island that makes you old. It's the island that makes you gay. And if you're not gay, or if you are gay when you get there, gayer.
Is it possible?
The Kinsey scale breaks. Kinsey himself comes out and sucks your cock.
I love any challenge that ends with, well, someone will suck your dick well, now.
That's a great prize. Hurley and Walt are playing a game. I love that. I want a spinoff of them. They're so cute. I wrote Hurley needs more screen time. And also, he owes Walt $20,000.
He does.
And he says he'll get it. Yeah. He says, you'll get it. Okay.
Promise.
A line that I love was Boone yelling, I run a business.
Okay, buddy.
Yeah, good for you.
I'm real proud of you.
He runs a business, so he should be good in the jungle.
Yeah.
That's great.
It's great. You know everything about what's going to happen, right?
Well, you know who does know everything about what's going to happen?
John
fucking Locke, because he says it's going to rain in 1 minute, and it does.
You know what happened? I watched it, and I said, this is a man who has been to Florida.
Florida man.
Yes.
He even has a fucking cargo vest.
Tell me about
good that. God, he's bald, probably like... Reagan Republican.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
Woo! Okay. We gotta hold on. We're running out of time on our session for this. Creepy screaming. We heard that. No one else did. It's skipping around. I'm so sorry. Charlie's alive in full Kill Bill mode with the sirens and everything. He says they, not just Ethan or him.
Yeah.
They wanted Claire. So there's more people.
Ugh.
Yikes. I'm pretty sure that at this point no one else is in the group.
They've been in survival that's an imposter mode for or anything. 16 days.
Yeah.
And now they have to be like even more in survival mode.
I'd have a stroke. I'd walk into the ocean.
While
Boone and John Locke are still running around looking for Claire, I think they know they're on the false trail. I think Locke at least knows, and he's just like entertaining Boone. He's like, Boone wants to go back. John's like, sure.
Sure.
Here, tosses a flashlight, hits the metal on the ground.
Oh my god.
What is it?
It's a hatch.
Yeah, bitch. It sure the fuck is. That's the introduction to the hatch. It is a huge part of the show. I cannot wait for all that. In the flashbacks, basically, we get more Jack and his dad. Jack's dad's a drunk. Jack has to try and fix a mistake during surgery. He can't because his dad fucked it up so bad.
Yep.
He's not planning on telling on his dad, but he has to. Morally, he has to.
He has morals.
And he does.
He's rich enough to have morals.
Yeah, and he does.
Yeah.
He tells straight up narcs on his dad, but good for him.
Exactly.
I wrote drunk dad and Jack having a big dick doctor contest.
Oh my god, that's exactly what it was.
But it did make me feel bad for Jack. Like,
oh,
he just wants to help people.
Everything about his parents.
He just wants to help people.
For him.
I think we have to. Oh, hold on. I have a little trivia, but I can maybe wrap it up in 50 seconds. In the original outline of the episode, Jack and Kate were going to be attacked by darts from the others, but it was a bit too Johnny Quest. It is day 16, also one of the numbers. Jack hits Charlie's chest 23 times, another number. Kate spent 8 hours hunting with her dad, number. And Locke played an admiral in Star Trek whose crew mutinied over his poor leadership. And also he gets explained a Star Trek reference. To him.
Really?
Thought that was funny.
He's in Star Trek?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
One episode.
I'm going to let this finish.
One episode.
I'm going to look it up.
All right. Yeah, we're going to take a quick ad break. If we actually have ads, they will play here. If not, we'll be right back in a moment. Bye.
Bye.
It's working. It's back. I think I just had to refresh it because it went to sleep a few times.
Oh, well.
Well, we're back.
That's how it is with technology.
Technology? Like
technology.
The Republic?
Oh, shit. I didn't look up John Locke on Star Trek. Hold on.
Do you, is this something you have to know?
Yeah.
I get it. That's okay. Well, we were just talking about Furbies in our break.
We were. And if you've ever earned, woo, honey.
No, you had to earn the Furby to own it.
Oh.
You had to teach it English and, like, house train it. And again, they spoke to each other. And if you dropped them once, something happened and they took on a life of their own.
I'm completely uncomfortable with the concept of Furbies that talk to each other. That's way too, like, Borg Collective / 2001 A Space Odyssey for me.
Yeah.
Not a fan.
They are also hard to understand if you don't play with them a lot.
Shit, right?
If you don't play with them a lot. But they're still around. I do love that whole period of time where it was like, don't buy Furbies, they're spying on us. It's like, for who? For what? What are your kids? What information can your kids give the government of anywhere? Oh. How messy their room is? Don't get me started.
I mean,
yeah. Yeah. That's a discussion for another time.
Oh!
Did you find him?
Oh, yeah. The Pegasus. I remember that. I remember this episode. He did some shit.
Did he have hair?
No.
Oh.
He did some shit. He covered it up. One of the characters on the show found out about it because he used to be on the ship with the guy and had to make a decision whether to keep it a secret or not.
You know, that sort of thing. Titillating.
Loyalty to your former superior officer or your morals?
Well,
and he chose his morals.
Just like in Lost.
Yeah.
So many
John
parallels.
Locke is clearly, just full of morals.
Yeah.
He has no interest in getting off this island ever.
He's attuned to it.
He can walk, baby.
Yeah. Why would you? What's he got to go back to? Boxes.
More boxes.
Boxes.
A break room.
No, thank you.
Leg massagers.
I wouldn't. I would still.
Women who don't love him.
I'd still use him.
God, is he an incel?
Probably. No, because he has had sex before. He had, like, well, you know. I can't say. But not an incel.
Not an incel. John Locke, not an incel.
Just a boomer.
Ooh. I'll give you that.
Just a boomer. Okay, so let's jump into episode 12. Whatever the case may be, this is our third? Is this our third Kate episode?
It's our second, isn't it?
Do you count the pilot as... Because it flashed between Jack, Kate, and Charlie.
Oh, no, I don't know.
Okay, our second Kate-centric episode. Absolute Kate episode.
Yeah.
Okay, for flashbacks at least. I want to just tackle the flashback first because it is quick.
Yeah,
it's pretty quick.
Let's talk about what happened.
Do you? I took over last time.
No, please.
Okay, good. Thank you.
You have the notes.
I have all the notes. Okay, so... We start with Kate in a turtleneck, and she is killing it.
Ugh.
She looks absolutely fucking great. I love seeing her with makeup and her hair done.
She's a Vision.
She's gorgeous. No, she's not the Vision. She's the Wasp.
Thank
Come on,
you.
Greg. Yeah. Come on. Be in a zeitgeist. She's at the bank. I think she's, like, getting approved for a loan or something. Cute and quaint. And we're just like, oh, okay. You used to be somebody before whatever you did. It's still a mystery.
Yeah.
And then a robbery happened.
Oh my god.
A huge bank robbery. Just her luck.
Scary.
Just her luck. There's a struggle.
You know what happens?
Huh?
All the goddamn time. People trying to be a hero during a bank robbery in a movie or a show.
Yeah.
Come on. The money is insured by the federal government.
Yeah.
You think the federal government is going to let the money get, like, stolen and not replaced?
If it was your money, you wouldn't have to go to the bank to get it.
Yeah. Yeah. Ridiculous. Just let them have it.
It's like when people say, I bought a house. No, the bank bought a house. They let you stay there.
Yeah.
They're nice enough sometimes.
Exactly.
Wow. Ugh. So someone tries to be a hero. And a real American hero.
God. Remembering that.
Well, this is post 9/11. And who knows when this scene happened.
During a real American
probably,
commercial.
Probably October 2001.
Thank you.
There's a struggle. The gun slides to Kate. She picks it up and she can't use it, apparently.
She doesn't have the gun.
I've never shot it. I don't know how to use a gun. And then one of the robbers grabs her, roughs her up in front of everybody, throws her in a room. Turns out she's in on it.
Then they start making out.
And it's hot.
Oh, it's good.
I know. They're good for them. Kate, at this point, is going by Maggie. It's a no from me.
I don't like it.
But also, no, I guess it made me, for a second, I was like, well, then how do we even know Kate is her real name? But it's like on all like the arrest stuff. And there's like a mugshot with her real name. Like, that'd be her real name. Manifest, that'd be her real name.
Yeah.
But Maggie, no, ma'am. Not a Maggie.
Not in my book.
No.
Not a Maggie Gyllenhaal. Not a Maggie Smith.
Not a Maggie from The Walking Dead.
Ugh.
Or
not a Maggie Thatcher.
Not a Maggie, that dog that Rod Stewart sings about.
Yeah.
It's about a dog, right?
Maggie May? Sure.
Or is that Mandy? Ugh. I'm confused.
You've got me there.
I've had a stroke. I'm on the island.
I can't tell you.
Okay, so Big Trouble and Little Bank Vault set piece is what I wrote next. They make it to the vault with like a guy that works there, quote unquote Maggie, and the robbers.
Right.
And what doesn't one of them try to shoot the guy? Tries to shoot the bank teller or something?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's not cool. Kate, that's not in Kate's plan. So she turns on them because she has the mind of a mastermind. And she shoots them. Non-lethal shots, by the way.
Good for her.
Oh, she's a professional. Is she also an assassin?
What did Kate do?
What does she do on a daily basis? It seems like she wakes up and decides, you know what? I'm actually a Renaissance painter. You know what? I'm Alias from that show Alias. Today I'm going to be Nell from the movie Nell. She does whatever the fuck she wants. I love Kate. So
Kate
she
lives in her own world.
She
Kate lives inside her own heart. Have you ever heard that story of Matt Damon and Prince?
Yes. I actually did read that. Oh, where God. Are you from, my own heart? Or some shit like that.
Yeah, I love Minneapolis. Where do you live, Prince? Matt Damon, I live inside my own heart.
I live inside my own heart.
Oh God.
Who wants some pancakes? Aw. I was thinking about old Dave Chappelle Prince skits earlier and just like not laughing out loud, but being like, oh, remember that? That was fun. That was a fun time.
Dave was great.
Yeah. Okay, so Kate finally gets into a lockbox. It's box 815, which is the flight number, by the way. Spooky ookie. And what's in it? A fucking airplane. A toy airplane.
Yeah, why not?
Also, a little too on the nose. I thought, like, the flight number and there's a toy plane in there.
Yeah.
But it has nothing to do with the flight yet.
Nothing at all.
I mean, that we're putting that on it.
Yeah.
But I thought it was like, okay, I mean, we get it.
It's on the nose. It seems a little desperate.
And that's – oh. Hold on.
Oh, hey.
Hi. Sorry.
It's okay.
I had to pay my rent because I forgot to do it.
Well, that seems like an important thing to do.
That depends on who you ask. And if you ask me, we'll talk about it later.
I know some people.
Just kidding.
I know some
I had it in my wallet and I forgot.
Yeah. I know some people that don't prioritize their rent. How do you do that?
I have been here for almost a decade and we have that kind of level of trust. Yeah. He knows I'll get it. Yeah. He knows I have it. I hate going to the ATM. Ew, they're so gross.
Oh, yeah.
I never think about how gross they are until I get there, and I'm like, I don't want to touch that. And then touch money?
It's all really germy.
It's all pretty gnarly. Okay, so that was it for the flashbacks. When we get to the jungle part, Kate's climbing a tree, getting fruit and shit.
Yes.
Sawyer's creeping on her. I love that she throws a rock and hits him. And she's also a softball player, professional.
Is Kate a lesbian?
No, because she's kissed a boy.
Ooh,
that actually means nothing. I have no idea.
Not a damn thing.
You know what? I hope she is. It would save her a lot of trouble on this island. Kate and Sawyer find a watering hole, lagoon, waterfall situation, and they should skinny dip and bang, but they don't. They just get in like, someone's in his jeans, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, it doesn't look comfortable.
But she swims in a very revealing triangle bikini that I think needs to be thought of and mentioned every day because she looks so good in it.
She looks banging.
That
Right?
I love that that's what she's been climbing trees and hiking mountains when the entire time. A triangle bikini. She's cunt. That's what she is.
She's serving cunt.
She is serving cunt. They're swimming. It's cute. It's happy. They're, you know, having probably the first minute of fun since they gotten there. At this point, well, actually, these are days 21 and 22.
Ooh, okay.
So Claire's been missing for a while.
A hot minute.
Actually kind of scary.
Yeah.
While they're swimming, they find dead bodies from a plane in the water. Still in their seats, still in their seatbelts. Oh, actually holding each other. I think it's like a man and a wife.
Yeah.
That's fucking sad and super fucking gross. Because their eyes and mouths were open.
It's not a great
They're
picture.
Swimming in that.
Yeah.
Isn't like called like dark water?
Like it's haunted?
Yeah.
I'm sure it is. There are dead bodies in the water.
Oh my God.
They probably turn into water.
Seriously. It's nasty, but you know what else is nasty? Pickpocketing the dead, which is what Sawyer does.
I can't say I blame him.
Cursed. Never seeing heaven. No. Kate finds her case. I did her in quotations.
Yeah, yeah.
For the listeners.
Sure.
So they get it, and she can't open it because it's locked. And instead of fucking around with it, Sawyer also has an interest in it. And she goes, you know what? You can just have it. Because if she can't get into it, he can't get into it. Because you know what else she is? A master lockpick.
Mastermind.
She is.
Master lockpick.
Oh my God. She's Inspector Gadget. Sherlock Holmes. She's Iron Man. Thanos. God. I love Kate. I'm glad we have another episode of her. I hope she does well.
She seems to be doing fine for herself so far,
She's doing just fine.
She's had no trouble out of everybody on the island. None at all.
She stays out of it. Keeps a cool head.
Yeah.
She lets Sawyer take it because no one can get into it because it's... What was the brand of it? I have it written down somewhere. They're all making a big deal about it. They're like, oh, you think you can get into that briefcase?
Was it a Samsonite?
Something. Winchester, I think they said. I think they said Winchester.
Sure.
It doesn't matter. But before we move on, I wanted to note that the bodies looked really cool.
I'll give them that.
I thought they looked really cool.
Yeah. That's on the scorecard for the show.
Yeah.
Over the bodies.
So back on the beach, the tide is washing everything away. And Saeed says the tide is weird here. And he's made mentioned up it before, I think, as well, with like the stars. Someone had mentioned how like the constellations aren't right.
Yeah.
And now the tide's weird too.
Yeah.
Just something to think about.
That's nerd stuff to notice, and I'm glad there are nerds around that.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad there's a nerd on the island.
Very, very useful.
They should have more nerds.
I would have no idea what to look for to like know what the southern hemisphere sky is supposed to look like.
Absolutely.
Not at all.
Is what Kate did in the briefcase? Well, there's no key, so we're never going to find out. Kate tries to steal it from Sawyer in the night, and he does that sexy little leg tumble thing, and she headbutts the shit out of him, and I love that.
Because she's her own woman.
She's a butch queen.
Yes.
First time on the island, realness, is what I wrote. Shannon's tanning.
Again.
I wish she had a Playboy Bunny sticker to track her progress. I want to know how tan she's gotten since she's been there.
Why didn't she pack one?
I'm sure she ran out. She probably ran out. I know. She's having it the worst. It's the roughest on her. While Sawyer's trying to pick that lock, all the men walk by and laugh at him. So he gets a science lesson and a briefcase lesson.
Because
they're like, unless you drop that thing from a cliff or something. So he tries to do that.
So he does.
Climbs some trees. Tries to throw it down like a little monkey man. And then Kate's little bitch ass runs out of nowhere, grabs it, and bolts. I love that.
She's just waiting.
They're catting and mousing. Tom and Jerry, this whole episode. It's so fucking funny. Like, when you're watching it, it's feels serious and heavy.
Right.
But when you think about it, you're like, they just played tag all episode.
Yeah, and that's really all
they went swimming.
Is. Yeah.
They played Capture the Flag.
Which is a nice, it's a nice moment of levity in the middle of this
and
show.
And she headbutts him again.
She does.
And I love that. That she has a move. We'll have to look out for that. Saeed.
You see Kate's signature move, right? The headbutt?
Oh.
The headbutt.
Yeah. You see
that
hair.
All they're talking about.
You see
the
back
island.
Of that ponytail come up. It's over.
Have you seen the Twitter thread from the island? Oh my God. Kate.
Did you hear? It's Headbutt Gate. She broke someone's nose. What's her forehead made of?
Oh.
Adamantium?
Oh my god. Is Kate in the MCU?
Yes! Yes, she is.
She's the Wasp.
She's the Wasp, but also she is Kate.
She is. Adamantium Skull Kate.
What did I? What's her last name? My mind went to Kate Bishop because we were talking about the MCU, but that's the new Hawkeye. Kate Austin. Her name's Kate Austin.
Kate Austin.
Yeah. All right. Sorry. Woo! So Saeed and Shannon. Saeed needs a favor. He needs her to translate some of the French notes that are on the shit he stole from Rousseau. Yes. Crazy French lady. But she can't. She's worthless. And then he's like, okay, we knew that. But how do you even know the little French that you know? It turns out she learned it from a guy in Saint-Tropez. Of course she fucking did. She did. Are you kidding me?
Alexis bursts out to be like, but also, no.
But also,
you
wrote,
stole my thing.
Iconic. Like, of course she did.
David, you try learning French.
Yeah.
You Saint-Tropez.
What I needed. What I still need, they can still do this.
Okay.
I need Jenna Maroney and Alexis Rose in a room together trading stories about the Yakuza. Because if I would like to actually make a BuzzFeed-esque quiz that's like, who said, which character said this wild story? Because riding a bike and picking a lock are both sets of skills you need to get out of the NBA locker room or something like that. Like, who would never know who said that.
You would have no idea. None. Not unless you knew those shows like the back of your hand.
And I do.
Uh-oh.
It says, please be nice to me on the back of my hand. Because that's a 30 Rock reference. Because I'm all on top of it. Jack and Kate talk secrets. And she reveals that there are guns in the case. That's her excuse for trying to get them. Because she doesn't want Sawyer to have them. I actually buy that. I mean, we know what's in the case, actually, that she wants. But, like, I do believe she doesn't want Sawyer to have 4 guns. Because he already had one, and things have been fucky since then.
Yeah.
That man cannot have more power.
Who has the objects of force on the island matters a lot.
Yeah.
Because you don't...
You have to listen to that.
You don't want to have to listen to Sawyer.
No. Oh, because there's no way getting out of it unless you get that gun. You're all just going to be fucking capture the flagging with the gun now instead of 4 of them. Oh, yeah. I'm glad she brought it up, actually. I'm glad she didn't lie. And she was like, there's nothing. I just want it. Like, whatever. I don't know. That could have gone so many different awful ways. But while they're Jack and Kate are talking about that, they're in Sun's little garden, and they don't know she can hear them.
Yeah.
So she knows. She knows Kate's a criminal, because no one else really does. I think Jack and Sawyer are the only people that know that.
That's true.
So now she knows Kate is a troublemaker, and that there are guns involved on the island. Like, more guns.
Because that's what this woman
does. But who's she going to tell? How?
I do love the moments of awkwardness that are caused by this entire situation.
Yeah, because she always gives a look, I can't react. But she does
everything.
But she does react, right?
She's running the Twitter thread for the island.
She does everything. Maybe not this episode, but. I'm pretty sure. I think it's the next episode. So Jack and Kate are digging up the marshal because the keys are in his wallet.
Yeah.
Gross.
Yeah. It's a disgusting scene.
And we also find out that Kate is a sleight of hand magician because she fucking.
What can't she do?
I wonder what the first thing that she did that set off this domino effect of skills that she has. God,
what school did she go to?
Damn, every one of them. Mm-hmm. She was, and she graduated with most. Just the award of most.
Doing the most.
We actually are changing the name of the school, and you're in charge, kid. She graduated at 4 because you're a genius. Kate. Shannon is feeling worthless, as she should. She is, and she should know. So she actually starts to help Saeed. And what she puts together is that the notes aren't like coordinates or actual useful information. It's the lyrics to Across the Sea from Finding Nemo.
Yeah.
But that's not the real name of the song. I have it somewhere. I don't have it written down, but I was listening to it because I wanted to hear the French version of it. And it is better, softer, prettier. Aww. But it's that she knows it from Finding Nemo.
Which is a cute little...
And of course she does.
Yeah.
Of course.
Of course she does.
Stupid bitch. I love her. And I would too.
Thanks, ABC.
Jack and Sawyer have another big dick contest. Are straight men okay? No. Answer for another time. We cannot get into it.
I don't even need to get into that. That's a no from me.
I noticed at the end of the episode, one of the background castaways looks and dresses like Shakira, and more people should know about her.
Okay, I'm into that.
She's wearing the exact same whenever wherever outfit of not quite crushed, like not quite suede, not quite leather.
Yeah.
Brown vest with booty shorts. I don't know, the low rise bell bottoms.
There it is.
That's what it is.
Yes.
She's wearing the exact same fucking thing. It's fucking, I was like, I paused and I was like, is that Shakira?
It's fucking iconic.
There's no, like, she, no, there's no way that happened. Charlie cries.
Poor Charlie.
He's going through it. I mean, he did die for a minute. And then some trivia. It's not a lot, but we can
lay it on.
We'll fluff it. So it's days 21 and 22 while this episode is happening.
Numbers.
Nope.
No.
Okay. Not those. I just thought it was... I like to keep track of how long... I mean, Claire's been missing now for like 5 days.
A minute.
5 days. No wonder Charlie's sad and crying. But still. The lockbox was 815. Flight number. Finding Nemo is discussed. It's about being lost. But it is. And this is the introduction of the second beach camp. The real-life Hawaiian tides threatened to wash away the set, so they wrote it into the show.
Oh.
The big fuselage and all that, it really was about to get washed away, and they were like, that is a huge hazard. You've got to clear that shit out. But they're like, well, it'll ruin the continuity of the show. Oh, so they wrote it in to like, yeah. Oh, the tides are washing everything away. We're moving down, and then you just never really see the wreckage from that point of view after this point. They had to get rid of it.
Yeah. Well,
it was like
environmentally
unsafe.
That's not okay.
Yeah.
I can see that. Good for them.
Yeah. Were there any things that you liked or disliked about this episode? Besides that it's a Kate episode, and we just learned so many things about her, but also nothing.
I just...
How is she so gifted? Skilled?
She's a con artist.
So is Sawyer.
Yeah. There's a lot of con artists on this show.
A lot of liars.
No one has a normal backstory. We've been over that. But no, it's just...
But that would be boring.
I don't know. I'm already over Kate.
Okay.
She's got it too good.
Too good.
You know, she isn't being particularly amazing or helpful. She helped plant a garden. But she's like playing all sides of this thing.
If this were Survivor, don't you think that would be the best part? Like, I mean, this is not the show Survivor.
Yeah.
But if Kate were on Survivor, she'd win.
She would. You're absolutely right.
Why would you get rid of her?
She's helpful.
You need her.
Yeah.
I love Survivor. I have been watching season 40, Winners at War. Woo! Because I can't keep going with Lost until I need us to keep on track together.
I hear you.
So I'm like, this is my Lost fix in the middle of that.
Because it's about people.
There are people on an island, and they have to do a bunch of awful menial tasks and argue with each other and backstab.
I've never seen one episode.
I want to apologize to anyone that ever suggested it to me, and I said, that sounds dumb. Because it is drama, mama. I'm literally white knuckling my couch when I watch it because I'm like, if y'all backstab my girl, if y'all blindside her and get rid of her, I will jump through this TV and kill Jeff Probst, which it couldn't because he's superhuman. But
I knew that about it.
I have gone through the phases of wanting to be a contestant on it, but now I realize I'd die and that'd be the first death on the island of that show.
You know, I'm glad you realized that.
But I would also, you know what I'd love to do is test the obstacle courses because they have, that's a real job.
Oh, that sounds fun, though.
Right? I love obstacle courses. That's why I like the show. It's backstabbing drama for money with strangers.
Yeah.
And also obstacle courses.
I love any reality competition show that has obstacle courses.
Very good. Sometimes they last for hours. They're great.
What was, speaking of reality competition, mm-hmm. just exactly what was like mid-aughts MTV reality show content? Because
mid-aughts.
None of that was good. None of that was okay. It was entertaining as shit.
What was on MTV? Okay.
Next.
Yeah, Next, Room Raiders.
The parents had to pick them.
Pit My Ride.
Yes.
The one with the parents. I don't remember the name of that because I didn't like it.
It was
too forced.
Yeah.
I knew the other ones were a little forced, but that was too on, and I did not enjoy that.
Yeah.
I did love Pimp My Ride because it was bananas, and turns out none of those people ever got to keep those cars because they couldn't afford them.
Right.
Or they didn't work. Cars, they didn't actually fix the cars. They just made them look nice. Love that. I think Next is my favorite because it's so dumb.
It's so dumb. It's so superficial. Oh.
And all the lines people have to say.
The little lines.
The little quotes and quips they try to come up, that try to make them feel natural, but it's like,
the
no.
gay episodes are also I was some just of the about to say. Worst things you've ever seen in your life.
But they're also the best.
Oh, yeah.
I love when they all end up just making out in the bus for no reason. It's like, y'all were all just dogging on how ugly each other were, but now you're all single again. Like, a dollar transaction. Oh,
you know them too.
I know. I've been that woman. Shall I be her?
This is who I am.
I am that woman in the window. Okay, well, I guess we have to wrap up this episode
and
on this one.
Good job.
Yeah, and we will do for episode 13 next. Another ad. Who are we sponsored by this time? Tell us, Greg.
Jacuzzi water.
Jacuzzi waters.
Okay, hi.
Okay.
We're back.
So this episode isn't good.
It's not, no, hold on. It's not
it's
good.
It's a lot of things.
It's not bad. It is a lot.
Yeah.
It is, some might say, too much.
Ooh, honey, they say that about me.
Ooh, they're right.
Oh. I'm gonna go home now.
Okay, I'll finish this. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. There's no more Greg. It's just called the Dharma.
The Dharma
Initiative. Man. That, but the joke. That sounds funny. That sounds funny.
That was The Price is Right.
Yeah, I hear that sometimes when I do something stupid.
Oh yeah.
Anyway, so we're on episode 13 of season 1. This is Hearts and Minds, and this is a Boone Shannon episode.
Yeah.
Initial thoughts, hearing that it's a Boone Shannon.
Oh, God. It's going to be insufferable. It's going to be whiny. It's going to be privileged. It's going to be weird.
You know what I wanted from this episode? Do you remember Mary-Kate and Ashley's straight-to-video full-length features? Like Holiday in the Sun, Passport to Paris, Billboard Dad.
Girl, I do.
I wanted that. I wanted Holiday in the Sun. With Boone and Shannon.
What did you get instead?
American Beauty. Mixed with Flowers in the Attic. I got a full season of You on Netflix.
Yikes.
That's actually my first note.
I've never seen it, but I hear it's terrifying.
It's insufferable.
God. How do they make shows like that? Oh, what am I talking about? I watch Titans. Ah.
Okay. So we start off with Boone going full you on Netflix on Shannon with Saeed because they're connecting. They're becoming – Shannon and Saeed are becoming friends. Aww. Boone, insanely jealous. He tells Saeed to stay away from his sister because he is a creep with a boner.
That's right. Go away.
For his sister. Locke mentions to Boone he should not push Saeed away because they will need him later.
He's all about who's going to be useful, right?
That's well, they did find special. That hatch.
That's true.
Who would you go to? Rose? Charlie?
Kate.
Claire? Well, Kate built the hatch, obviously.
Okay. What did you do?
This is her island.
This is what Kate did.
She's thriving. She is it. It's not what she did. It's what she's doing.
Kate is a monster.
God, I would love back to X-Men. Back to X-Men. This is the Living Island Krakoa, but it's Kate Koa. And it's just... Kate actually is the island, but the physical embodiment of the woman we see is just an illusion mirage. Oh, it's a Fata Morgana mirage. Isn't that the heaviest one?
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Okay, work.
We're here for it. You
did that. I knew something and I didn't think about it.
You know what, though? The way that we're describing Kate mm-hmm. is becoming more and more absurd. It's to the point where at this, she should be an unseen character. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, like Heather Sinclair and Degrassi. Or did you watch BoJack Horseman?
No.
There's also an unseen character named Erica okay. that a character's always like, Erica, what happened to your ears, girl? Like, yeah, every time yeah. you see, in quotes, Erica, you don't ever see her, but it's always she's always described as something more and more unimaginable. Exactly. You can't imagine what this person would look like at this point.
Exactly. That's how it is with Morty on The Nanny.
Oh, okay.
Dad.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it's also how it is with Maris on Frasier, Niles's wife.
I actually have heard that reference before.
Okay.
I love The Nanny, but not like love The Nanny. I love The Nanny. It's cute. I've seen yeah. it.
Huh.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That surprises
me. I get it. I can do the voice. I love her.
I love The Nanny. I saw it as a child at a particular moment where you get enthralled by something and it kind of sticks in your brain that way.
For me, Facts of Life.
There you go.
Hands down.
There you go.
Ugh. I love Facts of Life. It is very good. Okay, so we are back to the hatch. But first, I want to mention that everyone has a wardrobe change this episode.
Good for them, finally.
I literally wrote, yay!
Yay, different clothes!
Thank God, because like, have you noticed when these people sweat, it's just around the collar? Maybe the armpit, but yeah, never a full body. When I sweat, it is a Austin Powers T-zone on my torso, my entire back, and the whole rest of my body looks like I just got out of the water.
I saw a man sitting somewhere in a dress shirt the other day, and the back of his shirt was drenched in sweat. The poor person.
When we went to the seafood fest, I had my backpack on while we walked in the sun and drank
yes.
IPAs in the sun and liquor in the sun. And when someone gave me a hug after I took my backpack off, I was like, I'm so sorry. Do you remember in X-Men 1 when that guy got turned into a puddle?
Yes.
That was me.
Hold on.
That was me.
Do you know about bottom storage?
My ass?
Here you go. All right. You need to know about bottom storage. Because talking about X-Men reminded me of it because of, you know, the way they keep Magneto. I just sent this to someone.
Is Magneto canonically a bottom?
What?
No, I don't think so.
What? Yes. Obviously.
He's a top. He's an Omega level mutant.
He's a bottom. I don't know what you're talking about.
I know that Iceman is. It's actually canon, I'm pretty sure.
I see all the most wonderful things about Iceman on the internet at this point. I love all of
them. I love the gay X-Men. Ooh, there's a storm coming, Greg.
You know what? I can't find it. That's so unfortunate.
Oh, anyways, no.
It's about how, like, when you have a villain that you need to keep that's clearly gay.
Oh, yeah.
And you keep them somewhere to keep them interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Hannibal Lecter, Magneto. Kind of big, open, weird.
But they also always die, so it's more so the barrier gaze cliche.
Yeah, that's true. Hannibal doesn't die, though.
I don't even think he's coded as gay. That's just me. I have not read it. I'm not familiar with that universe enough to say.
You could see the eye
to say. I felt it. I feel bad. I have to.
Oh, honey.
I'm cutting this out.
Cutting this out.
I'm not.
Watch Hannibal.
Oh God! I just watched the brain eating scene recently because
yes!
I was like, "Remember that?"
Wait,
very
wait,
good.
The movie?
Yeah.
I meant the show.
Oh no! I've seen the first. Oh, that is gay.
Thank you.
That's gay, baby.
Thank you.
I didn't. We weren't talking about the same Hannibal. Not the same Hannibal. Okay.
Gay.
Ugh.
Oh my God.
Oh, power. Oh. Power verse.
The whole
time. Dom verse, if that's
Dom
a thing.
Dom verse. And the thing is, the show knows exactly what it is from day one. It's just like, hi.
It wouldn't be that beautiful if it weren't dripping and queer.
It so is.
I mean, it's staunchly gay.
The problem that I have is this. I was watching Elvira yesterday, and I was looking at this house that she was left in the movie, and I went, ah, fuck. This is my aesthetic. Dracula.
Yeah.
Every time I see a Dracula movie, I'm just like, yeah, that's how I want my house to look.
Nosferatu.
I want like dramatic chandeliers, good lighting.
Remind me to send you the link to McMansion Hell. Oh, bitch.
I will die.
You'll die. Everyone who's listening should look up McMansion Hell. It's a Tumblr page. It's the only Tumblr page that I check at this point. I'm so sorry to everyone who's on Tumblr still. I can't anymore. But it's really fucking funny. Okay. Have to get back to this.
Going back to Lost.
Okay, so we're back to the hatch. And they're, okay, never mind, actually.
No, we're not back to the hatch.
No, Hurley. Hurley thinks that Jin hates him because he didn't accept his offer of fish on the first day when they were all, the first meal they all had.
Yeah. Yeah, because he didn't.
He didn't accept his nigiri in episode one.
Yeah.
So at this point, Hurley has just been eating fruit. And he has hot snakes and bubble gut.
Oh, yeah. He's just eating fiber, the poor thing. Fiber and sugar. Oh.
That sucks.
In the sun.
My mind immediately went to Jenna Maroney when she was dating James Franco. And she was like, and their relationship is sponsored by Jamba Juice. And she was like, Liz, it's perfect. I have a boyfriend, attention, ice cold diarrhea from all the Jamba Juice. Like, that's, but obviously not.
Obviously
ice not. Cold. He's, to quote Andy Dwyer from Parks and Rec, he's got hot snakes and bubble gut.
Yeah.
So we were talking about ice cold diarrhea. hot snakes and bubble guts.
Hot snakes and
so bubble yeah, guts. Hurley needs protein.
He needs something, anything.
He mentions to Boone, like, you and Locke have been going out hunting boar,
right? And
a lot
because you're boar.
You haven't brought anything back. They don't know. He doesn't know that they have found a mystery. Hatch. A mystery they have to unfold.
It's a mystery.
No one knows. You know who wants to know? It's Shannon. No, Shannon wants to know what Boone and Locke have been up to. I mean, Hurley's like, where's the food, you guys? This isn't a game. Try harder.
Right.
It's not. He doesn't think you guys aren't doing it. He just thinks you guys suck at it. You should try harder, probably. There's a lot of us, and we all need to eat. Shannon is like, no, what the fuck are you guys doing?
I actually don't think you're doing what you're saying you're doing.
Yeah. I don't think you're hunting
moment
at all.
Moment of insight from Shannon.
This is the least useless she's been.
The whole time.
No.
She
translated a couple things. And she has given us a lot of delight. A lot of laughs.
She's died already.
We cut to Sun in her secret garden. I just love
it's
her.
So sweet. Oh my God. She deserves every good thing.
Leave
her alone.
She's the best.
Yeah.
She's sweet. Boone wants to tell Shannon about the hatch. He expresses this to Locke. Locke knocks him out and ties him up.
Cute.
Kinky, actually.
I'm like, whoa.
My next note, Locke is so cray and kinky. He's so horny for survival.
This is what he wanted to do.
This is his fantasy. He's living his wet dream.
Like, yes.
This is his walkabout. You know who's in love with him? Boone. He gets love.
Clearly.
So Boone's gonna fuck that up for him.
That's sad.
It is sad, but also wrong. Get over yourself. You're all in the same boat, dumbass. So he knocks Boone out, ties him up, and it's basically like, if you get out of this, you can do whatever you want.
Exactly.
No, it's fine. I was debating something in my head. He's making like a poultice.
Yeah, exactly.
And
yeah.
Puts that on Boone's head, slaps it on the wound, which looked bad.
Pretty nasty.
It was very red.
Like, ooh, that's gonna hurt. That's gonna be infected.
My like scalp was like, ooh.
Yeah, like, oh God. I fell once as a kid because I was playing on the shower curtain because I did it once and it didn't fall. And then I did it a second time. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then I fell and I hit my head on the back of the tub.
Yep.
I actually still have a scar where hair doesn't grow.
Same, but a knife.
Ah, a knife!
Knife with the you know those knives with the hook at the end that you gut fish with?
Yep.
Back of the head.
Oh.
Stuck. Oh. Had to go get it removed and get a bunch of stitches.
Oh, motherfucker.
And I'm going to use that as an excuse to why I can't do math and read clocks.
Absolutely.
It has to be.
Absolutely.
I'm getting better, but I'm also in my 30s.
You're a lost
cause. I should not be learning math at this point. But it didn't stick because I had a lot of brain trauma as a kid.
From that, apparently.
I was sitting on my dad's boat. That's where the knife was, naturally. On the steering wheel, because wee fun. It swings around if I hold on hard enough.
Yeah.
Just like you. Went around once. Oh, perfect. Let me do it again. Fell off. Knife was like between the seat and the wall of the boat.
Oh, no. Rick.
I had to walk a block and a half to my grandma's house to get her to take me to the hospital. And you know what she told me?
What?
Do not bleed on my seats in my car. I just got this thing. And I said, I'm 8 years old and I have a knife in the back of my head.
What the fuck?
I didn't say that. It was probably something like, oh, I'm sorry. Oh, I promise I won't.
Oh, that's so fucked up. Oh.
Yeah. I love adults. I can't wait to be one. So we're back at Sun's little garden and Kate's like venting to her because she knows Kate that, thinks that Sun can't hear her,
word,
but
right?
Sun reacts. She slipped up.
She
goofed.
Her veneer was gone.
Her teeth? It slipped? They're so expensive. What a shame.
I saw Nancy Pelosi have trouble with her dentures the other day.
You saw God.
I did. I'm like, whole girl.
Oh, where's her African scarf for that?
That's not gonna help.
I hope she does the Wakanda thing and her teeth pop back in. Crazy bitch. Why doesn't she condescendingly clap in her mouth? And maybe something will happen. Yeah. So yeah, Kate knows that Sun does not. She understands. She knows English, and they, you know, she admits it, blah, blah, blah. Don't tell my husband, please. No one else knows besides Michael.
Because
he saw my boobs, and it was like, felt like a fair trade, I guess.
That's the kind of economy we're building on this island.
Hey.
Ronald Reagan would love it.
Sawyer said it's the Wild West. And it is. It is Vietnam now, baby. So, Hurley is trying to catch fish with a net that is made of his extra, extra large shirt.
Right.
Genius. But also not effective.
At all.
Having a hard time. But a good thought. I would have thought the same thing.
Right.
Oh, he's a shirt. Oh my God. Sorry. We're giggling because it's raining outside and I called it. The rain is 12 minutes late. But I said the word minute, just like John Locke did. So I am him. And this is the island. Because
we're here now.
Because we're in Florida. Now. And Florida is the island from Lost.
That's actually true.
It is canon. Hurley steps on a sea urchin. Classic Hurley.
Classic Hurley.
Classic Hurley. Jen helps him out, though. He's not actually mad at Hurley. I just think Jen is uncomfortable around everyone.
Probably.
Because he can't talk to anybody.
Yeah.
And everyone's also seen him be like
a douche.
High key a douche and borderline abusive.
Yeah.
So I think he's trying to make amends.
That would make sense.
As much
right?
as he can.
He doesn't want to be on the bad side of anybody. He can't really afford to be.
No one can.
Yeah.
Except Sawyer. Because of that jaw. And this, his V line.
Well, he owns a business.
No, that's Boone. Boone owns a business. Wedding business.
A wedding business.
He does weddings. But not really. His mom does. We already talked about Boone. Fuck you, Boone. Get out of here. God. Oh, wait. This is a Boone episode.
We've barely scratched the surface.
I know. We're not even in the flashbacks yet. Okay.
These poor people.
The people listening. Locke tries to give Saeed his compass I guess, are they still going out to look for Claremore? I guess
so. Yeah.
It's been a minute since I've watched it. Yeah. So the compass does not work.
Yeah.
And Locke also says, islands. Locke says, I don't need it anymore. He's got this bitch. He knows he it. He's got this place.
He knows.
And, but the compass doesn't really work. And also Saeed created a different compass and it didn't work either.
Yeah. So no compasses work.
He said magnetism's weird here. And just remember that.
Right. We've already seen
tides, star, magnetism. Fucky cuckoo shit is happening on this little island. None of it's real. Okay. The tide's weird, all this. And all, you know what else is weird? Saeed's coke nail that they zoomed in on twice.
Oh, still with the nails?
I'm sorry.
God.
They got worse.
You can see Carrie Fisher's coke nail in Star Wars.
She earned it, and she's a woman.
Yeah.
So Boone and Shannon are having a tete-a-tete.
Yeah.
If you will.
Uh-huh.
In the jungle.
Yes.
And then jump scares abound.
Mm.
I think I counted three. And I actually jumped because I forgot. I always skip this episode because Boone and Shannon. I was like, no, I got it. I get it. You're both useless. It. Let's find out how useless you were before. But there are genuinely good jump scares with the monster coming in and vroom, and like throwing trees and shit. And I'd love to know why that's effective. For him, he doesn't need it. The monster doesn't need to break shit. It's smoke-ish. We don't even know what it is yet. It's just something. But it can go wherever, it seems like, when we watch it from its point of view.
Right.
We've seen it from its point of view.
Yeah.
It's just around.
It's all over.
So why does it need to destroy anything in its path?
Intimidation.
Drama.
Yes.
She's a queen. She's the monster's a gay. Super queen. And then I wrote the monster. I also wanted to know about how good Charlie's neck bruises looked. I love bruise makeup.
Yeah.
I'm a weirdo. When I was in college for theater, I used to take pictures of people's bruises that I saw on campus, log them, print them out, and recreate them on myself.
Okay. So what you're telling me is you went to school for theater.
Yes. But I wanted to do theater makeup. Horror movie makeup.
Yeah.
I still want to do horror movie makeup.
I love that.
Sounds great.
Yeah.
I think I'm pretty good at it.
So much fun.
I'm pretty good at it, I think. I can make a bruise. Like no one's business. It looks real. So Charlie's bruise work, because it's not hands and it's not one rope. It's like a bunch of twigs that don't make sense and don't go together. And it reflects in that.
Yeah.
It's different sizes all throughout his neck.
Yeah.
And it is fucking well done. And also it's been... Since they found Charlie, it has been like 10 days. Because this is day 24.
Shit.
So it's...
10 days of... Ooh,
that's rough.
That's really bad. Yeah.
But they don't look brand new either.
Right.
In this episode. I really appreciate shit like that.
Yeah.
I love that. Boone and Shannon are lost, all caps, in the woods. And he is... pretty much explaining how awesome Locke is to Shannon. She's like,
yeah,
your boyfriend sucks. I don't like him. Break up with him. Break up with your boyfriend because I'm bored.
I'm bored.
When's he gonna die? And then there's another jump scare, and then more jump scares, and then Shannon gets snatched.
Hello!
Like straight from the air. Just her, like, grabs her. The monster grabs her by the legs
She's
or something.
Gone.
She's gone. Is she dead? We find her body. But he, like, mourns over her body and then runs back to the beach. Boone attacks Locke and realizes that none of it was real. Locke had made some kind of hallucinatory healing thing for his brain. And it was so he'd get over it so he wouldn't tell her about the hatch.
So he...
That's a lot.
That's just...
That's a lot for a witch doctor who just got his legs back.
I am not okay with it.
How would you even know it would work? Like, what if he ran off a cliff?
Because
then he's not seeing the right things.
Yeah, if he's hallucinating.
Also, he was, like, touching her. It's too much. I'm sorry. It's good TV, but you can't think about it hard enough. What is noticeable and should be talked about is that when Locke said, how did you feel when he thought she died? He said he was relieved.
Relieved.
Yikes.
Okay.
Tell her that. Try it. See if she doesn't claw your eyes out.
He's going to die.
Good God. All right, so the flashbacks. Let's cover the flashbacks.
Oh, yeah. Should we?
My first one is, oh, it's a Boone Shannon episode?
God.
Okay. Shannon needs help. She's in Sydney. Our story's getting messy. Boone goes to Sydney to get Shannon. She's in an abusive relationship, we find out. I hate that. I mean, that sucks. But turns out she gets into these abusive relationships so that Boone will get her out of them with money.
Yeah.
And it's all for her. She sets all these things up.
Messed up.
That's awful.
It's dark.
But it makes me respect her more because I'm like, no, she's smart. She's gotten away with this. This isn't the first time she tried it and failed. This is the last time she tried it and failed.
Yeah.
She's done this before and gotten away with it. Yeah. With probably her dad, and then he cut her off. Then her mom, then Boone's mom.
Right.
Boone's mom actually doesn't talk to Shannon or like Shannon.
So Boone.
Boone pays the guy off. He doesn't know yet. Oh. While Boone is at the police station, Sawyer walks by.
What's that about?
We'll find out. Probably
is what Kate did.
I bet it was fucking Kate. She's actually the chief of that police station.
Damn it,
Kate. Her middle name is Sydney. They named it. They named the whole place after her.
What did Kate do? She got Sydney named after her.
She's immortal. She's in the Marvelverse. I mean, it's all tying together. I did write hashtag girl boss when we find out that Shannon is behind all this drift, this con artistry. Like, girl boss, you better fart.
Her, right?
You better get your ass beat for money. Okay.
Gaslight.
And then Shannon tells Boone that he is in love with her. She's like, no, you're in love with me. And then she tries to kiss him. And then they kiss. And then they fuck. And they aren't, we were never really related, but,
questionable. It's like the Brady Bunch movie.
Just want
to,
yeah.
Or,
hey, Marcia.
Real life.
Hey, Marcia.
Yeah, Greg.
Every time.
So good. It's so good. I think I own the second one and not the first one.
I'll give you that because the second one's actually funnier.
No, I said I had the second one.
Yeah, I'm saying, yeah.
You'll give me the first one?
No.
Oh, you're not going to give me anything physically.
No.
Props to me.
Props to you.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's what
the
I'm
second
saying.
One is funnier than
yeah,
the
Yeah, it is. It has more iconic moments. The second one has Sure Jam. So
I've never seen a George Glassdoor skewel. Okay. But the first one has iconic moments. He's like, you need to get a chin reduction, a boob lift, a tummy tuck, an ass implant, cut your hair, slaps him. Cut my hair. So fucking funny.
God.
And also, Jan, come back when you're pregnant. All right, here's a little trivia about this episode. It's day 24. I mentioned that.
Also,
hold on, we'll get there. The only Boone-centric episode, rightfully so.
The only? Thank God.
It's more lean on Shannon a little bit later. Boone's flight to Sydney took 15 hours.
Number.
Hearts and Minds is a military term in reference to the Vietnam War. Propaganda, basically.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I thought that was worth noting.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like the last two episode titles were very on the nose. You didn't have to think about what it meant.
No.
Hearts and Minds, it's like, okay, yeah, hearts maybe. You have to think more. You do more mental gymnastics trying to make it work.
Yeah.
But that is actually.
So it was a propaganda.
Right on.
Yeah.
I mean, Locke literally creates propaganda through hallucinations to
Ridiculous.
Get Boone on his side.
Yeah. What?
to the opposite effect.
It's just so much. It's so extra.
It's just crazy. So
I would kill John Locke.
That's the episode, but we have a little bit of time left. I want to ask you a few questions real quick.
Okay.
What do you think? Because you already said hatch. You know it's a hatch.
Yeah.
What do you think is down there?
Oh, God.
Because a hatch is a door, right?
It's a door into something, right?
Yes.
If it's a hatch on an island like that, I would have to say like a research facility.
Research facility?
Yeah.
You don't think it's like the other people?
Maybe it is the other people. Maybe they're part of the research facility is what I'm saying.
Okay.
Hatches into underground are generally like, especially on abandoned islands like that.
Wouldn't it be really hard to do anything underground on an island because of sea level?
Yeah.
Island-like behavior?
No, you have a point there. But doesn't the island have elevation? Because it has all the...
Yeah, but I guess we don't really know how,
yeah,
what the length, yeah, the depths and peaks and troughs of the island are, where they are.
Yeah, exactly.
Geographically.
Yeah.
There are maps of the island that I would love to show you, but it has too many spoilers in it,
and
I can't do that yet.
That's fine.
I don't want to spoil the show for you.
I will give you that. It probably does. But the island's so fantastical already.
Yes. It doesn't really matter.
It doesn't
really matter. Like when I heard someone say, oh, yeah, I have a basement, and they live around here, and we're in the panhandle of Florida on the Gulf Coast.
Yeah.
That's almost impossible.
Yeah.
You must have money if you have
a basement
below the ground thing. Anything. Crazy.
We don't do that around here.
It's advised against. There's like an alarm or something going off. Do you hear that?
I do.
Because of the storm? It's not my phone.
Mine either.
But something's going... Bop, 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 bop.
Huh.
It's supposed to be like this weather for the next 4 days.
Holy God.
Yeah. You know how hard it is to go to work for a solar company when there's no sun? People keep calling me and saying, why am I not producing energy? And I said, what do you think?
There's so much rain here.
It rains every day.
We've had a lot recently.
The Sunshine State is alive. I have never seen a natural orange in my life here. That's not true. I've seen a few. They grow downtown sometimes, naturally. Wow. Like, if you go to Hub Stacy's, you can pick oranges on your way home. I mean,
yeah. They're not good.
No. They're grown from throw up and cigarette water.
Yeah.
So I love them.
I actually really, really love the taste of a good Florida orange. I know that we have ugly citrus here, and a California navel is always really, really good, but there's something about a Florida orange. It just has a particular kind of taste to it, every single part of the fruit.
I'm a big fan of the Satsumas, the smaller, peelable,
ooh,
cuties.
Yes.
I love orange everything. It's my favorite scent. Mm-hmm. It's my favorite flavor of artificial flavors, and it's my favorite natural fruit. Like, orange is my favorite fruit. It is so good. But you know what? I don't love orange juice.
Really?
It's not the same.
I love orange juice.
I like it. I drink it. But I'd rather have a sun-kissed than orange juice.
I love sun-kissed.
It's more orangey to me. And that's stupid. And you can all attack me forever. I don't care. I love sun-kissed. It's more orangey to me than orange juice. The juice of an orange. You showed me those.
Did I already?
Yes, okay, they're adorable.
I made these the other night, right?
Tell me what's on them. Describe what you're showing me.
So, my friend Gina and I, we had these little phyllo dough frozen things, and there was a recipe for like a cream cheese filling. Mm-hmm. So we got to making it, and we realized that we had like 10 of these little things, and the recipe is designed for 2 whole packages.
Oh.
We didn't have, what did we not have? We didn't have lemon juice.
I was going to say lemon juice.
Yeah.
Because that is good cream cheese,
yeah,
like a fruit thing.
You have to have a little bit of acid in your,
otherwise it won't break up.
So we didn't have lemon juice, but we did have little, like, mandarins. So I juiced some mandarins and just.
Did it work?
It tasted great.
Yummy.
Yeah.
Do you hear that?
Again.
What is that noise?
That's so weird.
Viewers and listeners. Sorry. I said one first and I wasn't going to correct myself. There's a noise that goes every time a lightning bolt hits the ground around here. I don't know what it is. I didn't set that up.
Yeah.
I don't know what device it's coming from.
We don't know what's happening.
There's too many devices around me. There are at least 19 computers around me right now.
The recording space is a nightmare. It's a...
It is a dystopian nightmare.
Wasteland.
Yeah. This is Ready Player One or something. I don't know. I didn't watch it. It looked bad.
It was not good.
No, it's
it
not.
It was in love with its own nostalgia. I don't like a film like that.
No.
No.
Anyway, Lost never does that.
So we made those things.
Okay.
Used the rest of the filling, put it in an apple, scooped out apple flesh, and then put the cream cheese in there.
Like ants on a log?
Yeah.
Cute.
Yeah. Baked it. And then what was the other thing we did? Yeah. And she had these little silicone bundt molds.
Uh-huh.
And I added some flour to the mixture to like thicken it up. And then we baked them and had like mini bundt custards.
Wow.
They were so good and so like fluffy and rich. Yeah.
My eyes are watering because I want that. My eyes, not my mouth. My eyes are like, don't cry because he didn't bring you any. That sounds so yummy. You know what I am excited for? Because it is October officially.
Yes.
I mean, a couple of days ago, but no one else knows. It's October right now. Yay! It's October 4th, I think.
4th.
Okay, great. I cannot wait for a pumpkin cheesecake slice.
Uh-huh.
That is my... It's my birthday tradition to have a slice of pumpkin cheesecake. Not a whole one. I do not need a whole one. I want one slice.
One slice.
But my birthday cake that I celebrate with people, Rice Krispie.
I love it.
I eat too much regular cake throughout the year for everyone else's birthday. For me. Para mí.
For you.
I want a Rice Krispie cake with some of those awful sugar letters that are like bumpy.
Oh my
all
God.
Just and I want
That's
no one to sing.
Good. Yeah, I hate that. I hate the singing. It's the most awkward ritual.
There is I bring up this podcast a lot, but in Las Culturistas, they're doing their like Emmys based their award season, and in the category of worst note ever sung, the third burr in birthday song. Happy birthday. Like that one.
Yeah.
No one is on the same page.
No one. The only time it's been good has been when I've been in a choir.
Because they're all on the same page.
Yeah.
Literally. They're reading a page.
Doing.
We just had a birthday at work. And I asked before we lit the candles. I was like, do you want us to sing or not? He said, please don't. And I said, okay. And we just went, happy birthday. Blow it out. We're doing it. That's it.
Cute.
That's it.
Over and done.
Michael likes to just say birthday when he does it in the tune of the song. It's creepy.
Yeah. That's a choice.
And no one laughs. But I get it. I laugh.
I don't like the ritual.
No, don't sing to me.
I don't mind it.
Just y'all. I would love.
Just make me a pie.
Everyone to yell, happy birthday! And clap right. Like it's New Year's or Christmas or it's just a holiday. No other holidays have a ritualistic song you have to do before someone fucks around with fire.
Oh, it's weird as shit.
Not right? That I was raised with. At least.
Oh my God.
Anyway, I think that about wraps it up for the night.
I would have to agree.
Okay. Well, thank you all so much for listening. I hope this wasn't too chaotic, and if it was, this was just an episode of Chaotic with Britney Spears and Kevin Federline from the past. Call them, write them. And have a great night.
Have a great night.
Bye. Bye.